All right, we always appreciate having Nikki Javala join the program while she gets her own song. But especially on cut day when I know she's grinding and texting a million agents across the country. Hello, Nikki. How do you do?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are good. The last waiver that we've heard about releasing KJ Henry, D-end draft pick just last year, looked pretty good the other night in the preseason finale, had that big sack on Jacoby Brissett. I'm guessing you have this one. If you haven't, forgive me. But obviously we're seeing a whole lot of removal of players that have been here. What do you make of cut day so far?
Yeah, so I haven't confirmed KJ Henry yet. I did see that one. That one's a bit of a surprise to me.
Agreed.
Yeah.
He's been their first defensive end out there behind Cleveland Farrell and Dorrance Armstrong. So that one's a little bit of a surprise. But yes, so far outside of, you know, the earlier Jahan Dotson trade, there haven't been too many surprises really. And I don't expect the movement to change at 4 p.m. today. That's the deadline for the initial 53 to be done. I would expect there to be quite a bit of movement thereafter, maybe up until the opener even.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, what I've been saying all along is whoever makes today's initial 53, it's going to be dramatically different than what that roster looks like Friday morning, and then even by week one of next week. Like, by Wednesday of next week, when they really truly begin getting ready for Tampa, I think, Nikki, you could see as many as 6, 7, 8 different players than making this initial 53.
That'd be back from other teams, you're saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the beauty of having the number two spot in that claiming order. I think if they didn't have that, there probably wouldn't be as much movement. But now they have really good odds on trying to get the guys they want in the pool of guys that have been waived. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate they're in that spot because of how they got there, because it's a, you know, it's the same order, the reverse order of how they finished last season. But
yeah,
it's super beneficial when you're trying to rebuild.
I think I think when we look at some of these players that have been released, we start liking people. I think the people that are putting this team together, they look at the record last year.
Yeah.
And when you look at that, you go, okay, then we got to change a lot of stuff. And you just have to respect that.
No, totally. And I think anytime a new regime comes in, they're going to want to get their guys.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that they're, you know, against the other guys, but they're going to get ones that they feel good about, that they can handpick, that they know will kind of fit what they envision. So, you know, this isn't the first place this has happened. It won't be the last in NFL, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also think KJ Henry being gone is really good news for Jamin Davis and perhaps even Javonte Jean-Baptiste, the draft pick out of Notre Dame previously of Ohio State. I think we got our healthiest dose of this with the Jahan Dotson trade, but I feel like organizationally they are continue to send these signs like, yo, we're building long haul here. This is year one of a multi-year thing. Whereas fans have gotten really jazzed up about Jaden Daniels and are like, all right, how are we going to win the division?
Yeah,
that's it. And I think there's competing wavelengths.
Right. But I think that's always the case, too. You know, I think the fans will always – and not to say that ownership and the coaching staff don't have urgency. It's more, I guess I would say, calculated because they have a better understanding of how long it may take with the personnel they have. And then they know what the bigger vision is down the road, and fans obviously aren't always privy to the details. I like that the expectation is to always, you know, we should win it all now. I think that's, you know, if the expectation is, you know, if we can just, you know, finish 500, then we'll all be satisfied. I think something's drastically wrong with your fan base.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my personal opinion. So I think it's kind of healthy for the fans to have lofty expectations for this group. But realistically, yeah, it's going to take some time. I mean, the way that they built this team is so it will take a little bit of time because the framework is built by these veterans on 1-2 year deal.
Totally.
Well, they're going to be gone in a year, right. 2 years. So, you know, they're trying to build it up.
I think the whole time, every move they made has been calculated, and they basically came in saying what they were going to do. And that's how football goes. You get some veterans on 1-2 year deals, and then those guys you draft that year are ready to go. And then when they start leaving, then you got some more guys. And then you just keep it going. All of a sudden, you can be good for a long period of time instead of just being good 1 year and searching the next two or three.
Right. No, I agree with you totally. Because I don't think any team wants just the flash, you know. If you have a team that's built to win and you go all out like the Rams did to win the Super Bowl and you do it, awesome. But, I mean, there are ways from that. They might have a really good quarterback, but there's still a number of holes on this roster that they got to fill.
Talking with Nikki Jhabvala from The Washington Post. Give her a follow at Nikki, N-I-C-K-I, Jhabvala, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A. And if you'd like to see pictures of the new boss of the Jhabvala household, follow her on Instagram as well.
really all I post.
It used to be an occasional picture of an eagle, and now it's just all Julian content.
I used to like post my dogs more. I totally neglected them. I'm awful.
I hope I didn't tell you this, but when the babies show up, the dog just falls in the pecking order, and it's a tough fact of life. We still love the doggos, but I experienced it, and you're going to be all right. I promise.
I know. I know.
Looking around the league, as we see these releases, the couple things I've been paying a lot of attention to, a pair of defensive players that got released by Dallas last night, and one of them, frankly, with the release of KJ Henry, makes me pay a little more attention to it, and some of the Tarik Castro Fields. Like, there's a corner and a DN from Dallas that I know sources have told me Dan Quinn really liked, and now they're available. And then Noah Brown getting cut in Houston being available, I find pretty interesting. Any other names, or what do those names mean for you? Any guys you think they're watching?
Yeah, I mean, anybody that has direct connections to Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, or Cliff Kingsbury, I think are all fair game. Any of the guys that they got an up-close look at from the Jets, the Dolphins, the Patriots, I mean, there's some recency bias, I think, in a lot of NFL signings, so I would keep a close eye on the guys that get waived there. One name that did say, I don't know that he's been waived yet. It was, you know, reported that they're trying to move him, and if not, they'll waive him. But Tim Patrick, he's with Denver now, a bigger receiver. He's dealt with a number of some serious injuries, but when healthy, he's very good. And this team could use not only receiving help, but a bigger body over there. So he's one that I'm kind of looking at. I think Adam Peters claimed him off waivers in San Fran at 17, too. He didn't last long, but he did claim he liked him initially. So we'll see what they think there.
Are you surprised at all? You've reported it, so I'll let you tell us what you know. But the attempt to maybe trade Stromberg, Turner, and John Ridgeway. Level of surprise with those three? And what, if any, market is there?
Yeah, so I reported Ridgeway and Turner. I don't know about Schomburg just yet.
Okay,
but I mean, not surprising, no. I mean, I think that these are guys that were on the bubble. They're young guys. Maybe other teams view them as, you know, having you know, you look at their size, too. Like, I think that's intriguing. I think Ridgeway's a good player, and in the right system, he could be good. Turner's a little bit more raw, but he's a bigger guy. That could be appealing to a team. So, yeah, I'm not surprised by them trying to make these types of deals, or at least attempting to, and then moving on. I think it's smart. Try to get some value for them. Just kind of see what the market, you know, brings back. But, you know, we'll see if they actually get anything for those guys.
I won't be surprised if they don't, honestly.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't mean that rudely.
Does it seem like, with the fact of them being able to bring back 17 guys, does it take away the sting a little bit, you think, in this point compared to what it used to be, Nikki?
A little bit, I think. I just think that the notion of the 53-man roster is just, I don't know, I think people still view it as, like, the roster, and it's not. I mean, they only make one cut now, but that one cut is really sort of like a draft, you know? It's like, not like an NFL draft, like a first draft of something, right? Like, they're just getting started. They're going to make tweaks to it. They're going to make changes. So I feel like the expectations of, you know, an initial 53-man roster, it's not the final one by any means. And then of, you know, the practice squad, yes, with it being bigger now, 17 guys, like you said, I mean, yeah, I mean, it gives them some flexibility in being able to add guys back. But at the same time, those guys got to clear waivers. And even if you do add them to their practice squad, they're still viewed as free agents to other teams. So another team could instantly pluck them off your practice squad and add them to their active roster.
As much as they love, coaches love telling their guys, and then eventually that news gets out, hey, we'd love to get this person back on our practice squad. That's cool. That's all well and good, but you're cutting them. And that means somebody else can get them. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, there's ways to try to phrase things and make it nicer than it is, but you're still releasing a player.
Right.
But to that point, we make all this conversation around the initial 53. Dude, by the time we get to the first four games, you're on the road three times.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they get to that home game, I believe it's against the Panthers in early October. Maybe it's the Ravens. This roster's going to look dramatically different. Like, the roster, an NFL roster, is like a living, breathing organism that changes significantly over the course of multiple months.
Oh, totally. I mean, it just looks like the Commanders' offensive line the last three seasons. I mean, like, I feel like the starting offensive line, if they come out with all five of their expected starters in week one even, changes so many times during the season because of injuries, performance, whatever other reason. I mean, it's bound to change countless times. So that's what I mean. I think, like, this initial 53, this notion that, you know, yay, you've made the team, you're going to go for 17 games, that's not really how it is.
Yeah, agreed.
Martavis Bryant, that release, and is it more that he hadn't played in so long, or is it something else with that?
With who?
Martavis Bryant.
I think that's partially it. You know, the fact that he's 32, he hasn't played an active game in 6 years, like you said. The problem for him is he came in fairly late in training camp, so he got two preseason games, but the first one was rushed because he, you know, signed like 24 hours after he got there. So, I think he will clear waivers just because he wasn't signed in the 6 months between visit with Washington. So, you know, if he can add him to the practice squad and have him as somebody can call up as a standard elevation or activate down the road, I think that could be helpful. But, you know, at 32, I don't know that any person is the same level they were at 32 when they were, you know, in their mid-20s. God, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Nikki Jambala. This is more of like a existential question, I suppose. Brian and I were talking about this, and as you look ahead to this season, I think there are a lot of real question marks, right? Like, I'm really curious about the evolution of Cliff Kingsbury as a play caller and a play designer. Like, he said he feels night and day different from his time with Arizona, you know, 5 years ago when he was dreaming up the first offense for Kyler Murray. And I don't know about the secondary. I think there's real questions there. But this receiver group, you're looking at a group that, as it looks right now, is going to be McLaurin, Zacchaeus, Brown, we don't know, but Pringle, Crowder, McCaffrey, right? And whatever you think that group is, if that's a C+, a B+, maybe you think it's an A+. Whatever you think that group is that's going to be announced today by 4 o'clock, how much different did that group look to you with Jahan Dotson?
Because
our argument is that it's kind of marginal. I don't know that it was a significant difference.
It's marginal if you're just basing it off what he's shown so far. To me, it looked a little bit different because I felt there was more potential with Jahan.
I agree.
Just based on what he did in year one. So I kind of viewed it two ways. Like, if he can play more like that guy with that we saw, then I think it's a stronger receiving core, no doubt. But if he plays more like he did last.
Uh-oh. Maybe the Eagle got Nikki. All right, we'll see if we get Nikki back. She also might be getting calls, so maybe just text her, thank you, we appreciate the time, because that's a busy lady right there. You and I talked about that receiver question, but I do want to ask the boys. Landfill, if the receiving group now is a, let's wake up and choose generosity, a B-, what were they with Jahan Dotson?
B-.
Okay. I think the league would suggest when you have to send a player and a fifth rounder to get a third back that you're not talking about a dynamic difference maker. Jeffrey, if you're at B-, which frankly I'd be at just flat C, but if you're at B-, what would the group have been when Dotson was still here?
Well, to be honest, after talking to like some of my friends and stuff, JP, I came to the conclusion that it will still be a B-, and the only reason why it's a B-, is because Terry is so good,
and that's what it's been.
Yeah. Other than that,
I think like we selectively look at stuff. Okay, first year outstanding. Last year we saw some costly little drops, and we saw kind of a step back. Injury started to pop up. This year,
I think the biggest difference was the repeated. Once NFL defenses learn that there's a problem, and there's a problem getting off the line and getting played really physical.
It was a step back. And then this year, you saw, well, the words he said to people. I lost my confidence. I got to get it back.
Yeah.
I talked to some former players. You know what they said? You don't tell that to no damn body. You just go out there and get that back. Once you tell somebody you lost your confidence, then it really is bothering you.
Panthers have released wide receiver Terrace Marshall. I believe he was a second-round pick a couple years back. He's also an LSU Tiger.
Guy. Yeah.
Now, he did not play with Jaden, but I'm guessing they know each other. You have receivers all over the league getting open. I do want to go around the league. There's plenty to discuss. But folks, I think, are somewhere between curious and pissed about this KJ Henry release. Landini, if you're all right with it, let's let folks sound off on cut day thus far. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. KJ Henry is gone. Martavis Bryant is gone. There are some players out there. Sam Hartman is gone. What do you make of the moves so far? B. Bishop Finley, 1067. The Fan. It's cut day, baby. For a lot of guys, end of the road. For a lot of guys, end of one road, perhaps the beginning of another. One dude that ain't getting cut is Austin Eckler. He'll be on with Grant and Danny at 3. Check that out. But right now, we're taking your calls on all the news that has transpired. The biggest headline might be Martavis Bryant released, but that's a dude that hadn't played in 6 years, hasn't been really a dominant player in 10 years. I don't think that should be that big of a surprise. Arguably, the most, you know, head-scratching is cutting KJ Henry, a guy that's produced at a decent level. Not the most explosive athlete for an edge rusher, but just had a sack in the preseason finale. I think it makes a lot more sense why they played him so much in the preseason finale now. Had that really good sack last year in New England that he got flagged for, which was kind of a joke.
That was a joke.
What do the folks think? 800-636-1067. Do you like the cuts? Are you mad about it? Let's start with Jake in Woodbridge. What up, Jake?
Hey, how you going, guys?
What up, man?
Hey, man, I just really want to know what we're doing at receiver now. I mean, letting go of Dotson, and then now we get rid of Martavis Bryant. Are we going after somebody? We have to, right? Like, we have to be looking at signing a big number one receiver outside of Terry.
I don't think so.
I said it when it happened with Dotson that I think something else is coming. But the ultimate thing for me is this. You let Dotson go, but when you say that about Martavis Bryant, he hadn't played in 6 years, man. Nobody has signed him in 6 years.
But when you say they're going to bring somebody else in.
He's still a weapon.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you're
don't
a weapon,
know that he's a weapon.
If you hadn't played
point.
In 6 years, I don't think many people in the league consider you a weapon.
No, I agree.
Dude, if he was such a weapon, he wouldn't have been available in mid-August. But hang on,
Jim. Well, yeah, we have to be going after somebody, right?
What does that mean? Because I get this a lot, and like, I think they might sign somebody at wideout. But do you think trading Jahan Dotson and getting a third rounder and then cutting Martavis Bryant means they're going after like Brandon Ayuk? Because to me,
those
two things don't add up.
It might not be Ayuk, but it's got to be somebody. I mean, now we have cleared two roster spots theoretically, right?
So Bryant was hardly a roster.
If you go down the list, I mean, are we really that deep at receiver for this young rookie to come in here and sling it?
No, but I don't think they were with those two guys. I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding. Let me be crystal clear. The players that will line up on the field week one in Tampa are going to risk life and limb to win that game. The coaching staff that will travel and stand on that sideline against the Tampa Bay Bucs in week one, all they want, the most important thing in their life that day will be to win that ball game.
Mm-hmm.
The folks that are putting this team together for the first time in a long time are trying to operate with a very big, broad picture. And winning week one is not the end-all, be-all as it is
not for them.
Building a long-term roster that they think can be competitive and eventually win titles. And I think that's where the disconnect is. Yo, what are they don't have enough at wideout. They've got to be doing something, right? I don't know that they're doing something.
It could be a setup for next year. You never know. But I just think the fact that we all question what they have right now, I just think that there's still another move to come.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think there's a move coming.
But what does that mean? Like they're going to sign. I think they're going to sign a wideout.
It means that they're going to try and do something else. A lot of people aren't satisfied with what they have. I'm sure they're not 100% satisfied. Yeah, they're building for the long haul, but they damn sure going to try to compete in the time being. So when I saw Jahan leave, I said it then. I said, it got to be something else coming.
Tony just got released by Kansas City.
Nothing to do with Martavis Bryant, because I'm like, dude, hadn't played 6 years. Nobody was signing him. I'm not even worried about that.
But I think people make a jump too far that is like, okay, they traded Jahan. Now the Ayuk thing is going to happen.
But see, I never said anything about Ayuk. I said I think there's another plan, another move coming. And I don't know if it's Ayuk or anybody else. But even if they go out and get a guy that's not even established, that has a little bit more experience. You know, it's another move. I'm not stuck on the Ayuk thing. I have not wanted to talk about Ayuk the whole time. Everybody just wanted to talk about it.
Chiefs have released Kadarius Toney. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I share the excitement that some do. Toney, when he is locked in.
When you're complaining with Pat Mahomes as your quarterback, then you got a problem.
Yeah. I think there were some real questions about what Tony was off the field. Let's go to Charlie in Annapolis. Charles, how do you do, buddy?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. This team has been a perennial loser for so long. I know that Adam Peters is in a difficult situation, and he's got to make some decisions to get it down to what he thinks is the best 53 players. I don't care what moves he's making as long as he's doing what's in the long-term interest of the team. So, you know, I support any decision that, you know, he does in terms of the players that he cuts. I mean, obviously, you know, as a member of the fan base, some of us get attached to players that have been with the team for a few years, but it's led to nothing but losing. So you got to do what you got to do to get better, you know?
All right.
Thanks for the call, dude. 800-636.
I kind of lean with it, brother.
800-636-1067. We're reacting as cut day continues to unfold. I'm going to channel my inner Doc Walker here. They were 4-13. Nobody is.
That's the ultimate
truly
thing.
Truly untouchable.
Like, that guy is so right where he said we get so attached to people. And I'm like, yeah, you can get attached. But, like, I've said every year, I want to win. When you go places, you don't like people always talking about how bad your team was. You want to win. And sometimes you got to make some drastic changes to get there.
How much of the KJ Henry decision, Brian, do you think is we're getting rid of Ron's guys?
I don't think they even think like that. I think they're going with guys that fit what they want to do. And like, because there's other Ryan guys that they, you know, if they come in, if you can play, you can play. That's the main thing. And if you don't fit our bill, you don't fit our mindset, then hey, we let you go. But I think KJ Henry, does he do more than just play that pass rush? Can he be a special teams player?
I mean, he has been, but I don't know. He's gone, whatever it is.
I'm just saying. So it's like, I mean, I think like we get to a point where we say, yeah, well, I remember when Adam Peters was hired, we all said this is the number one guy. Boom, boom, boom. Now, every time he makes a move, we all complain it. I know I'm not the guy that can put the team together. But the ultimate thing is, if that was the guy and they don't fit what he and Dan thinks, you got to make a move and go forward. And then you go back to what Doc said with 4-13 last year.
Another Ron Rivera cut. Another Ron Rivera draft pick cut. Standing says they're releasing Chris Rodriguez, running back. If you watched at all the preseason, and frankly, if you were at practice, and I know a lot of fans got to watch a lot of practice, they clearly were out on Chris Rodriguez, damn near immediately. I wonder if he gets claimed, but he's gone.
He may not, but like for me, I like when you say the team is out, sometimes the player makes the team get out.
Sure.
The effort and all that, you got to have that with you. You know, it's like this thing is not given. And if you're not out there giving everything you got, you get what you get.
Sure. I think it'd be just remarkable if guys were confident in what they had. If you are in hell, I mean, even the first round picks, like when there is a complete changeover from the top down, nobody should be confident, comfortable, any of those things. And
but when there's a complete turnover, you come into camp the next year, and they're like, who the hell is this guy? You know what I'm saying? You don't come like with taking a step back.
It's going to be fascinating to watch this unfold. Chris Rodriguez was one of the most stark, wow, they're done with this guy things I think we've seen. I mean, even in the third preseason game, let me see if I still have that box score open. Rodriguez in the third preseason game, this is all you need to know. Wiley got 7 carries. McNichols got 5 carries. Austin Jones got 8 carries. Kaz Allen got 2 carries. C-Rod got 1. And it wasn't because they liked him so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would also point this out for anybody telling me that Kaz Allen should be on this roster as a running back. He had 2 carries for 2 yards in that preseason game. I don't understand keeping Allen over Wiley. Maybe there's a different determination or they're only –
I think Kaz's size affects him at the running back position.
Yeah. Dude, I mean,
when a linebacker comes through there, a linebacker maybe 6'2", 250, he's getting in front of him and stopping him?
He put one on the ground like 2 weeks ago.
Listen, and the thing about it, I know that they could probably come up with ways to utilize what he's capable of, but the player also has an obligation to make sure that they know that they can trust.
I also, one of my favorite motion picture scoring scenes, Days of Confused, when all the kegs are empty at the party at the Moon Tower, and they play this. It's really, really good. It's really, really well done. I believe it's Linkletter is the director there. Really well done. Something that's not really well done, B. Ready for this?
What's that?
I'm going to take you through the 2023 Commanders draft class. Emmanuel Forbes was the first pick, number 16. I think it's fair to say there's some questions there. We'll see. Maybe the young man, Landville's hitting him with the sound effects. Quan Martin, by a wide stretch, looks like the best pick in this draft. Second rounder out of Illinois. Third round pick, Ricky Stromberg. Barely got on the field for you last year. They are exploring trade options now per somebody. If you're exploring trade options at 148 on cut day, ain't great. If you're exploring trade options at 148 on cut day is about the same as like not having a date for the Valentine's Day party at midnight on February 13th. Like, odds are you ain't getting a date.
Yeah, midnight is already at 14,
though. Yeah, 11:59. Like, it's midnight, not looking
midnight
good.
Midnight on the 13th is, like, way, way ahead, Jay.
Like, if the girl you like hasn't told you what she wants for Christmas by Christmas Eve, she probably just doesn't want to talk to you. That's Ricky Stromberg.
Or she expect you to know.
Yeah, that's true. Braden Daniels, your fourth rounder, who got put on the IR last year with a fake injury just to redshirt him. They just released KJ Henry, and they've released Chris Rodriguez, the sixth rounder, and they've released Andre Jones, the seventh. So of seven picks, the bottom three are already gone. The first one, there are real questions about, and I think it's entirely
possible. They could be bringing some of those guys back. You never know.
Sure. I don't know, but sure. It's entirely possible that 1 year after they were drafted, there will be two out of seven players from the 23 draft class on this roster, on the initial 53, yeah, for the following season.
But that's something that normally happens when you got a new staff come in too, though.
Yes, but that is extreme turnover 1 year in.
Yeah, but it's 1 year in, and you're talking about they kept every one of their draft picks, which is not always something that's saying that it was that the guys were that great. It's that you wanted to look great.
B. There is always turnover.
Yeah.
New staff comes in, there's always significant turnover. But 1 year later, to have two of seven draft picks on your roster.
That's what I'm saying, Jay. It's 1 year later, and you had a person who wanted to keep all his draft picks just to make himself look good.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. All right, let's make some bets. New week, new us. What do you got?
Yankees minus 1.5 against
the Nationals.
Did
you guys make bets
today
yesterday without us?
No.
Okay.
I went 1-0. All you guys went 0-1.
Nah, you didn't go 1-0.
I don't think that's accurate.
Oh no. I just saw the Nats starting pitcher for tonight.
Corbin,
you see the Yankees starting.
It's gonna be a bloodbath.
Give me Yankees.
I don't want to take them.
I never pick anybody that Jeff picks.
-1.5 Yankees. Gerrit Cole on the mound. Take it.
Something incredibly weird is happening. My phone is like recording me right now, but I can't figure out how or why.
Did you have on a screen grab?
No, dude. I think someone's leaving me a voicemail right now.
Let me see.
Is it like a voicemail and like a little
taping? It's not
a
recording tape you, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's letting you know somebody leaving a voice. That's not recording you.
You can watch it.
Now you can watch it or you can turn it off.
Oh, all right.
I tell you, boy, dudes just don't know how to use technology anymore.
Yeah. I'm going Aaron Judge to hit a home run.
Everybody's making bets on this Nats-Yanks showdown tonight, huh?
All right, well, I'm going to take the Dodgers.
So you zagging?
I'm taking the Dodgers.
B. Mitch is taking the Dodgers. Wait about 30 seconds, and he'll throw his parlay in.
I'm just sticking to the Dodgers.
I know what I'm doing.
It's a lie, B.
I'm just taking the Dodgers today. That's all.
I know what I'm
doing. I see nothing else that excites me.
Well, now, I got to be honest with you. I'm going to make a confession. I do not know.
So normally you lie to us?
Sometimes.
Since you got to say you're going to be honest?
I don't know that the system applies to the WNBA. I am not going to make a system pick tonight, even though there is a system pick available. The Dallas Wings are at home getting 10 with the Las Vegas Aces coming to town. But I believe that Vegas Aces are really good, and the Dallas Wings look pretty bad. So I'm going to lay the 9.5, Landfill. Give me the Aces, -9.5. I wanted to say this quickly, Sunday at noon, before we went to the Commanders game, I went to the Washington Spirit game. Uh-huh. I had a blast, man. Audi Field is cool. That team is really good.
Audi Field's always been cool, man.
Yeah, Audi Field's cool. The Spirit are really good. I feel like they could have put up 10 on Kansas City if they wanted to. They scored 4 goals. They have really good activities for kids if you want to take your kids there. I enjoyed it. So if you're looking for something to do, they have a good crowd there. They're not like begging for people to come. I know that because I had to pay regular prices for tickets. But it was fun.
Man, next time, call me.
I, I needed eight.
I got a guy.
But I needed eight, and that's a big ask. If I need a pair, then I'll call.
Well, I could have. If you could have got half of it taken care of, you, that's about half.
Yeah,
of
but
it.
I needed them all together, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but you can I didn't want to. I want half, and then you'll pay for the other four next to it.
Okay, next time. I didn't want to lean on people for my daughter's birthday party. All right, Grant and Danny coming your way. Next is roster cutdown day. It's going to be news all day. I got a peanut stuck in my throat. Thank you to Mike Jones. Thank you to Barstool Nate. Thank you to Nikki Javala. If you made it this far, Bima chose you a beer.